following is a paid program. Information on the program is intended solely to further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio 1020 KDKA does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information aired on the following program.
These are the people, the movers and the shakers, the businesses, the people you know in your community who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on the Voice of Pittsburgh, News Radio 1020 KDKA.
All right, welcome everyone, and a shout out this morning to Lou Gentile and Bob Miner from CSI Investigators and, of course, John Hudson. Because of that trio, I had a chance to meet Paul Apostolou from Apostolou Architects at a wonderful function a week ago yesterday at Shadow Lakes, and it was just a marvelous time having a chance to meet and greet and talk about school security and, of course, stop the violence in those schools that continues to plague America is the mission as it was then with our next hour today on KDKA. And before we get to Paul, I would like to first off say hello to Sarah. Sarah, go ahead, say hello to everyone. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello. That, of course, the 14-year-old, one of the twins, the brother not able to make it today, of our host, ladies and gentlemen, from J.P. Hudson & Associates, Mr. John Hudson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Rob.
You know, it must be Secret Service lingo, but you've got me now going, copy that, copy that. And I'm like, stop that. I wasn't a member of the Secret Service. If you worked for the Secret Service, you can do that. I was watching the president earlier today. I have much respect for him. And truly, the love of my life when it comes to politics and passion for this country, Hillary Rodham Clinton, she was at his side doing an interview. And I couldn't hear the sound, but I was thinking about the task of protecting people, high-profile people like that, that really are a huge part of the safety of this country, what their knowledge is and who they are, and how many people in this world would look at them as something that they would want to hurt or do away with. It must be as stressful as one can imagine, not just protecting these people, but being around these people. I have to ask you, have you ever had a one-on-one or a little coffee talk with someone in that position who has said to you, thank you for what you and the Secret Service does for us every day, and more importantly, this isn't as easy as it looks?
Yes, we have, actually. Three administrations that I did cover, the first Bush and then the Clinton administration through his 8 years, and the second Bush, though we haven't actually sat there and had coffee and had these discussions.
Deep discussions.
They do appreciate our service and what we do and the sacrifices that we have. They all understand we do have sacrifices with our families and that we do make a commitment and a pledge and an oath to protect them and the office of the presidency and their families. So they were very grateful.
Well, this is how it takes me into who you are, where you took your experience literally from the best of the best, the Secret Service, and you have taken it to the schools. We're going to focus on that today, and obviously corporate America. But today, with Paul being here, it's schools across this country. And there's nothing more dear to all of us than our children. You, of course, with your twins and Sarah being here today, and my three. So you have to take it upon yourself, knowing you, John, and how you're a 24/7 kind of guy like me, that these children become an extension of your family. So when you are hired by a school district, even though they're not blood or your biological children, you look upon them as a father would his own children. Am I right?
You are absolutely right. I take every bit of it serious. It's what I do. It's my reputation. And I've learned a lot in my years in the government through the U.S. Marine Corps as well as the Secret Service. And I'd like to take what I have learned and apply it to everyday situations that we've experienced out here to protect people like my daughter right here and my son and their friends.
Mm. All right. We're going to talk to Paul in just a moment. But one more thought. You have given me something here today that we used at Shadow Lakes a week ago. It is a flyer. And it's from J.P. Hudson & Associates, Security Methodology. And it's creating a safe and secure environment. And I must say, of all of the people who stood up and spoke that day, Paul probably said something that was more important and poignant than anything on that day about this safe room, which we're going to discuss in a little bit. But as far as training, security assessment, physical security, high school, schools, hospitals, and governments, all of these things that you can take care of, and the policy and procedure and facility designs. Now, for the average person, when I use those phrases, they're like, boy, that doesn't make any sense. But when we come back. It's almost kind of like circling the wagons, if you will, putting people at various perimeters to protect the core. So before we get into this and also bring Paul on the air, just explain very quickly an overview of what this is.
Well, what it is, we talked a few minutes ago about what I've taken from my past experiences and apply it in a civilian world, if you will. And the model that you're looking at is that in the shape of let's say, the Pentagon, 5 points there. And in order to get to the center, you have to breach these five walls. And we know that we cannot go at it alone and do any one security feature like a security assessment and expect the school or the facility to be safe. But we have to apply a comprehensive security program, which is representative of these 5 points that I've created for this security methodology. And as you look at this circle, these 5 points, you'll see that there's an application for each one of these members, for Lou Gentile and for Sam, for their expertise. I can't do it alone with myself. And for good people like Paul Postolou and his organization, who goes out there and he spends the time working with people like myself to design a facility that's creates a safe environment, whether it's for a school, which Paul specializes in, or whether it's a medical facility. He takes these security measures that he can build into the program or into the facility and takes it a step further and takes a look at the security and the technology that we can apply to it as well.
All right, let's get this break in here. Then we're going to bring you on the air, Paul. And I think over the next, what is it now, about 47 minutes, you will get to know this guy as I did over an hour working luncheon, and you will understand the passion and how far he has brought his business because of really his idea of making the best building and keeping people safe in the surroundings and making whatever their day-to-day life is pleasant when they're not at their own home. This is an extension of his home, and that's what I love about this guy. That and much more when we get back on Pittsburgh Works today in the Spotlight, J.P. Hudson and Associates.
We're Pittsburgh's source for local news and talk. News Radio 1020, KDKA. These are the people who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on the Voice of Pittsburgh, KDKA.
All right, we are back. Paul Postolou is here from Postolou Architects, and our host is John Hudson from J.P. Hudson & Associates. Paul, it's time to get you engaged in our conversation. And let me just say this, so charming, so intelligent, and how you were able, amongst all of those dignitaries, to ask one question that literally is probably the thing that stood out in my mind more than anything else. You build some of these wonderful schools that are a part of Western Pennsylvania, but about having that safe house, that same safe place for our children to go in case of something, sad to say, like what happened at Sandy Hook. Tell us about that, will you please?
Sure. You know, architecture has always been about making things welcoming, making the buildings welcoming, and especially for children and schools. You know, you want them open, you want the children to feel safe walking in. Architecture and all of the codes have always stressed being able to get the children out. All the codes are wrapped around a fire evacuation situation. With the hostility and the violence that we've seen in schools, it's a matter of trying to keep the kids in a very, very safe place while help can come and take care of what's going on in violence. Well, that's sort of contrary to what the codes are currently set up for right now. And not all schools, are set up to have a safe area. But one of our thoughts on it was to create a sort of safe area within the school where the kids could have an egress to the outside, but also be protected on the inside from any violent person coming into the school, and particularly with a gun, since a gun is now what we're all focusing on.
You know, one of the things that just astounded me, John and Paul, I had Superintendent Sean Tanner on today from the Midland School District. And when he told me that Neal Elementary was built in 1972, I couldn't believe it, because obviously they take good care of their building. But then I started thinking, and as I just mentioned to Paul, and I know education really is a sore spot with a lot of people, especially when it comes to dollars and cents and you have so many people unemployed and struggling. But our kids are our future. It shocks me, and you must see this when you go out and give an estimate or walk the perimeter, how many just opportunities there are for people that want to do harm. And other situations as well, fire, decay, building collapse, whatever, that so many of these schools need rebuilt literally from the ground up. Consolidation is something that they need to consider. But we really, when it comes to our buildings, and correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, we're living in a Stone Age, John.
I'd field that one with Paul there. We're talking about buildings in stone.
Right. Well, there are a lot of older buildings, and there are buildings that do need upgraded. I have sort of tended to take the tack that there's got to be a lot wrong with a building to get rid of it, that there's always a way to fix it. One example that I used also at that meeting that we had, the round table, was that, currently the standards that we build buildings by really focus on the fire and protection of various areas for a period of time so that a fire won't, there is safety.
Mm-hmm.
In doing that, the walls of a corridor in most new schools are nothing but two pieces of drywall that can sustain a fire for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
A gunman coming into that finds out that he can shoot through the corridor walls. There's no protection in that classroom. A lot of the older schools use tile and concrete block as corridor, which are a protection against a gun. It would certainly reduce the impact of a bullet considerably. That's one of the issues that will have to be addressed in these schools to create some of these safe rooms that we're talking about. But the older buildings do need work.
Well, the aesthetics of them, I understand, and everybody wants to hang on to their history. For instance, the Borough Building in Rochester is the old high school, mm-hmm. and I love it. The old high school in New Brighton, Dawes Gym, is now a library, and it's also a senior citizen center, the old high school. I want to see that brand, that name of that school from a particular area still around, but I also, on the other hand, want my children to be safe. John, I think we've come to the realization that if somebody wants to get into a school, they're going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So is it more or less you helping them get a jump, defend themselves? What exactly are you trying to do? And listen, when it comes to expertise, the thing that I have learned in the short time that we have known, and I know a lot of people, I don't think there's anybody that can give a person or a school district a better chance to protect themselves than what you do at J.P. Hudson & Associates.
Thank you very much, Rob. There is a lot that we can do with the protection of schools and facilities in general. With respect to schools, as we mentioned in the roundtable discussion that Lou Gentile sponsored about a week ago, and thanks to Lou for getting this all underway as well.
And by the way, let me just say this about our friend Lou. He signed the check for the whole bill. I mean, dinners, renting the beautiful Shadow Lakes, they do a great job there. And it was all because of him and how he felt after what happened in Connecticut. That's who Lou Gentile is.
Yeah, he's got a big heart. He's just got a big heart and wants to do the right thing, and you could see that. You could see that. What we do, Rob, going back to I've taken the methodology that we've used in the past in the government to protect those VIPs that we mentioned before, whether it's the Office of the President of the United States or whether it's an ambassador assigned to the United States. Use the same methodology. We develop that based on a security assessment. We do an inventory of the facility. What do you have in place right now which would lend itself to the security needs, albeit technical or physical structures? We provide that list, we go through it, and we see what do we need to further enhance this, and we add some physical security components to it if needed. Then we look to people like Paul, and we say, Paul, here's what we would like to do at the front entrance. We'd like to design it to be conducive to the environment that we're working in or that we're operating in, the school or the hospital facility. What can we do to incorporate these magnetometers so that they don't look like an eyesore?
What is a magnetometer? Explain to the audience.
The magnetometer are metal detectors, commonly referred to as metal detectors, that you walk through, similar to that at the airports, and it will detect whether or not you have a certain quantity of mass metal on you that would be equivalent to, say, maybe a knife or a small handgun. So he could help disguise those components in his architectural design, but without some policy and procedure, we could put in all of the physical security protection that we need, and it won't work. If we put in an access control system, or if a school district puts in an access control system on the front door, and I go up to the front door, I push that button, and I'm just allowed right inside without any type of preliminary or a pre-screening or vetting. Who are you? Show me an ID. What are you here for? Something, some additional questioning of who I am before you open that door. That's the first thing that needs to happen. And that's cheap. That's inexpensive. That's policy and procedure.
Can I tell you something? If I were retired, okay, which that's a nice thought, not right now, but someday.
Someday.
I would volunteer my time to be a school monitor. Mm-hmm. I would actually say, hey, look, just give me one of those, you know, nice lunches and let me see my kids or help somebody else out. I would actually put an eight-hour day in, a couple of days a week, just to be that face. I told you this when I was at mm-hmm. Quigley Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Went there for my son who was taking an entrance exam. I have never had this in any other high school. And I did play-by-play for 20-plus years all throughout Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Ohio. Never have I ever had, only at Quigley Catholic. And I'm a little biased. I like Catholic education. The bishop will be here tomorrow talking about Catholic Schools Week, which starts tomorrow. But somebody actually greeted me at a door and asked who I was and why I was there. Now, that's because you were there prior.
Yes.
It's so simple, but why do they make it so hard? Is it like an invasion of privacy thing or something?
You know, I think in the case of where those clerk support staff just opened the door for someone, I think they just become complacent. And in the Marine Corps, we would always have this saying, complacency kills. If we just exercised a little bit more of the vetting to those people that are coming to the front door, that could help keep the bad people out. Now, in keeping the good people out, there's another methodology. It can't be just the policy and procedure. It has to be a comprehensive security program. I can't do it by myself. I need people like Paul. I need people like Lou Gentile. I need people like Sam from Impax. They all play a key part in keeping facilities safe.
I got to get this break in here, but I've just figured this out. So you would actually hire out a company like Paul's to do a building or a structure that is security safe or that could help a place have better security?
It goes both ways. Whether I hire out someone like Paul or Paul subs someone like myself or Lou or whomever it might be, we work together and we know that we need to rely on each other's expertise to make this work.
All right, we're going to get a break in here. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Pittsburgh Works, J.P. Hudson and Associates, and Paul Apostolou from Apostolou Architects.
The Second Amendment.
What my goal is to ensure the law-abiding citizens' rights are not violated.
The battle in Harrisburg.
The federal government and the state of Pennsylvania may get into a shooting match over this.
When someone steals your guns, sells them on the street, and then murders people. How about that?
Those who want more gun restrictions are coming off making a whole lot more sense than those that are supposedly defending our rights.
Why would you want to put law enforcement against law enforcement?
Locked and loaded on the issue and the stories that affect you. KDKA. These are the people who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on the Voice of Pittsburgh. KDKA.
You know, I don't know what it is, but the fix must be in. I'm watching EWTN last night. Cardinal Wuerl was on, who I had a chance to talk to about a week ago over the phone. Just a real quick sidebar. I got a call from Washington, D.C., the 202 Exchange, and no one left a message. And I'm thinking, so I'm trying to book a guest. It's a congressman's office, senator's office. So I call the number back, and I said, hey, did you just call this number? Who is it? And he says, this is Cardinal Wuerl. And I said, how are you, sir? And he said, good, Rob, how are you? But I was, and he, by the way, the National Mass of Thanksgiving tonight at 6, EWTN. And I was watching him at this youth mass. And our bishop, David Zubik, the bishop of Greensburg, bishop of Steubenville, they were being treated like rock stars. It was really good stuff last night. But I was thinking about Catholic Schools Week and how proud I am where my kids go in Monaca to St. John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. And here you are. And, of course, your twin's mother, she, yeah, too, a graduate of Quigley. You, a Central Catholic graduate. And nothing against the public schools. But what is it about parochial schools that they kind of would seek someone out like you and be willing to spend the money? And what they do there is tremendous as far as fundraising with Mike Rubino. The diocese does not pick up the tab for anything. They are self-sufficient. They are in the black. But they realize that we need to call J.P. Hudson and Associates. Why is that?
You have a lot of good people there at Quigley High School. I had a good education there. I met some good people there. I've got some good friends there. Sister Anna Maria Gaglia, a longtime friend of mine as well. You've just got some good people there. Why they go out and seek me, I think it has to do with the alumni, but...
But they get it, though.
Yeah, they do get it. They do get it. And during my Secret Service days, I had gone back and frequented Quigley quite often and provided some impromptu speeches, if you will. It was kind of funny. My old teachers were still there. I would just walk down the hall. They would they'd look out, and they'd come out in the hallway, and they'd say, "John." I said, "Yeah." Yeah. You know, "Come here. Can you talk to my kids for a couple minutes?" And next thing you know, for the next 45 minutes, I'm giving them history on the U.S. Secret Service protection gambit.
And listen, and this all ties into school security. Any school board member out there, any administration member out there, any teacher, any parent, it's J.P. Hudson and Associates. His website is up on my Facebook page. We'll give you a number if you need that before the hour is up. In fact, let me do it now. 724-774-3824. I urge you to make this call. Minimally. If you do nothing else, have him come and speak to either the administration or the school board. It can make a resounding difference. The peace of mind that you will get. And just to see this man speak, it's worth it. I put a picture of you and one of my other favorites, Stephen Cipolla, of course, a district attorney, up on my Facebook page. You are connected with these people. So you have a way of profiling people, knowing about bad elements and being able to stay one step ahead of them. George Herman Bush, the Mr. Bush, I remember the former director of the CIA once said, "You have to get down in the gutter sometimes to think like those in the gutter." Mm-hmm. And it stood out in my mind. Mm-hmm. And being that you've been around so much of the bad in the world, it actually gives you an upper hand in protecting people, John.
And it absolutely does. You know, you learn from them. You learn from the criminals. And working with them, it tends to make me a little bit better. And kind of understanding where they're coming from and knowing that will help me better protect the facilities or the people that we're trying to protect. But again, you know, this isn't something I can do alone. I need people like Lou. I need people like Paul. I could go and I can talk. I'm going out to on February 7th to the Western Pennsylvania School of Deaf to talk to an audience out there on schools and school security. And it's a spinoff from, a lot of this stuff that's going on and that Lou presented this first roundtable that we did in Beaver County, which I think it was probably 70 or 80 people there. I never get the final count.
Well, let me tell you something.
It was a big out.
I sent thank yous out to everyone. You would have thought it was like one of my weddings, and I actually got stuck doing the work. It's Sunday night, and I'm thinking, how many people did Lou invite? I'm getting writer's cramp here. But it was close to 100. That's all I can tell you. And every stamp was well worth it. I just did that on my own because I was so pleased to see people such as Paul and from law enforcement. And as I asked the question in the very beginning, how many of you are here because you think this could happen again? Everyone put their hand up. Right. Paul, let's talk about that for a moment. And if it's fear that drives you to make a decision, it's okay, because it could prevent you from one of the worst fears in your life becoming a reality.
Absolutely. The first time I had a connection to Columbine, it happened. My sister lives in the Littleton town right there. And I became very upset and concerned, called and found out she was safe, but she told me what was going on, and I couldn't believe it in a school that would happen. And then when the Amish children were harmed here in Pennsylvania, out in Lancaster, that really
those poor children. Those poor children. Dear God.
But then the reaction of the family, to be so forgiving, that was amazing to me. I don't know how that, they
stronger
do.
Than I would ever
yeah,
be,
me too,
but thanks. For the grace of God.
But then, you know, Sandy Hook, I just realized, yeah, I went there because I knew that this is probably going to happen again, and it's something that I, as a child, never had to go through, but, you know, I want to do something that children can still have their childhood and not have to worry about this kind of thing.
You know, I try to tell my children all the time, and I will say this lovingly to your daughter, who is 14. I have a son 13, I have a son 21, and a daughter 11. I must tell them at least two or three times a day, these are the best years of your life.
Absolutely.
And it's so nice that both of you have that in your mind, your thought of consciousness, when you're working, either designing or, you know, putting security systems in with the cameras and the monitors and things that are necessary to protect our children. Because the more that you can do to keep a lot of that fear away from them or prevent them from having a memory that will stick with them for the rest of their natural days, I'm all for it, Paul.
Absolutely. You know, childhood is for the children. You know, it's coming to work every day, I pass through communities with the little ones walking to school and the school guards stopping them. I think when I was younger, I may have been impatient. Right now, I just enjoy it, you know, to see them skip along, just to go and carefree. I just don't want to see a change in that. And if we can better our schools and give them protection so that basically if we do something, it may deter people just knowing we've done something, and it's not going to be as easy the next time to walk in and do something like that.
You know, one thing that you're taught in the Secret Service is if you have to take a bullet, you take the bullet, okay? I cannot say enough about what these teachers did at Sandy Hook. Talk about that, John, and also explain to the audience. I had attorney Bob Del Greco on this morning, probably one of the top criminal attorneys in the country. And I said that we are so caught up and enamored with court TV and all of these things that we see on television that a lot of times people get desensitized and don't realize someone's going to jail because they either killed someone or harmed someone. And this isn't a movie. This is going to end badly. It's already ended badly for one family, and now there's another family who's losing someone that they love. A, about those teachers, and B, that what we're talking about is real. This is not a video game. This is not a movie.
And you're absolutely right, Rob. This is all real. And there's though there are similarities, there's a difference between what I did for the United States Secret Service and taking an oath to say I'm going to jump in front of the bullet and save someone. That's something I get paid for. That's work. That's what I do. These teachers, in Sandy Hook, the principal, these people are heroes.
Amen.
You know, they don't get paid to take a bullet. They're not. They didn't wake up that morning to come into class and think, you know, could this be the last day? They went because they enjoy kids. Like Paul was saying, you know, he drives along and he sees his kids skipping and jumping rope and going to the bus stop and you know, it's, you know, the perfect picture. And you know, these teachers, the principal, they had a passion. That's what their calling was. That's why they were there. They never expected this to happen, and you know, my heart goes out to them. They did what they just, it was natural. I'm sure that it was just a natural, instinctive response to protect the kids, and that's what they did, and, you know, can't say enough about that.
And explain to the audience what we're talking about. This is real.
This
people
is
are
real.
Dying. I mean, this isn't a movie.
Yeah, this is real. You know, I did a search a few nights ago on Google on just shootings and school incidents, and I came up there was about 65 or so up to between 70 and I believe it was 2010, I think is what the stats went up with. But as I've mentioned before on your show, back in the Secret Service back in 2000, the United States Secret Service partnered up with the Department of Education to help determine if there was a way to kind of predict using the Secret Service methodology for us to look for potential assassins, if we could use that same methodology to predict who would be a potential school shooter. And of the 36 incidents between 72 and 2000, involving 41 assailants, shooters. There were some interesting statistics that came out of that, and this brings me to the last bullet on the security methodology, and that's training, and I'll show you how this ties in. But in 75% of those incidents, the shooter had either notified a friend, a sibling, or talked to an adult 48 hours prior to the incident occurring. Now, I was a little bit distraught and upset when I received a letter from my my kid's school shortly after the Sandy Hook shooting, basically saying that they're not going to do much. They sent me a couple URL links to talk about how I would talk to my my kids about the shooting, and that they would continue on with their normal processes, and encouraged visitors to come in and sign the visitor log and to put a visitor's badge on their shirt. That's not going to cut it.
No.
That's not going to work. We need to start before that. We need to enhance the overall physical security. Keep the doors shut during school. There's $2 and $3 parts that can be put on each one of those doors to alert you when a door is open in the back. Or you can do the emergency egress and the 15-second delay push bars, similar to that at airports, so that when it does, the door does go open in the back of the school because a student wants to go out and get a book or something, it stays locked for 15 seconds and sounds a large, a loud audible alarm.
All right, we're going to go to break, but let me just say this, and I can say this. These people that are preying on these children are punks. They're lower than low. They're someone that was always dreamed to be someone, but normally are not, because they don't give it the effort that the majority of people do in this world. And the sad thing about it is the media paints pictures of these people and they become cult heroes. And in my opinion, we need to have more people like John and Paul and Lou and Bob Minard on the air to let people understand who real heroes are. And Jesus is obviously someone that people need to look up to, as opposed to who's scoring the big touchdown in the Super Bowl game. Those who fought at Guadalcanal and those who fought in Saigon and in between. Those are the people that this country needs to embrace and to understand are the real role models in our society. And a lot of these problems will go away. We'll be back.
Weekdays 9 to noon.
ADD, it's been described as.
Marty Griffin.
Yeah.
I know I'm jumping all around it. Okay?
Give me a break.
All right, so.
You're going in timeout.
So the truth of the matter is, right now, and,
Wow, there goes.
Whoa. ADD, it's been described as.
Marty Griffin.
KDKA. These are the people who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on the Voice of Pittsburgh, KDKA.
Okay, Paul Apostolou is here from Apostolou Architects, and of course our host is John Hudson from J.P. Hudson & Associates. Paul, one thing you'll find out about me, if you're talking about it off the air, there's a good chance it's going to end up on the air. Talk about policies, because I found it fascinating what you were talking about, and we had to come back on the air, and that's why you have such respect for John Hudson.
Right. Normally, you know, an architect comes into a school district, and we have very little to do with policies. You know, we design the school the way it has to be safe, very functional educationally. But as far as security, we're not aware of the policies and just how the school district has formulated them or how they enforce them. And to a large extent, I'm afraid that they aren't really formulated, nor are they rehearsed and enforced, so that we can do the bricks and mortar, and we can do the technical issues to basically safeguard the building. But setting up the policy and the protocol and how people will deal with the emergency at the time of the emergency is beyond our purview. And that's where John comes in. John analyzes what's going on, what do you have now, what can we put in place, and how do we train your people to react. Mm-hmm. So I see us working hand in glove together. Mm-hmm. In creating the safety net around these educational facilities.
Yeah, and you talk about the policy, and I do want to take a moment, because of Lou Gentile and because of the roundtable discussion and because of Sam coming up and talking.
Sam Rosenberg. He'll be here February 9th, by the way. Go ahead.
I can't help but think that I was talking to my son and my daughter yesterday after I picked them up from school, and they had started talking about something interesting. I try to talk to them about, you know, security all the time, and what are their teachers telling them, and what are your principals talking to you about? Well, I can't help but think that the reason they had this lockdown drill that they just had this past week, this week, was it?
You can talk, Sarah. You can talk. Your microphone is on. You can talk.
Yes. If because of Lou Gentile's roundtable discussion, and because it's back in the forefront, I think, you know, that may have something to do with it. But I do want to applaud their efforts, and applaud their...
What school district?
This is Beaver.
Okay.
Beaver Area School District. They did do a lockdown drill this past week, and it's good to see that, you know, they're doing things like this. We understand there's a money crunch everywhere, but we also understand there's a necessity to keep my kids safe, to keep your kids safe, to keep, you know, to keep all kids safe, and we have to balance that budget somehow. You know, that we have to find the money.
Well,
here's
the thing. It's like buying groceries for your kids. If they don't get fed, they get sick. Okay, if you don't protect them, they could get hurt. Money should never be an issue.
No,
and I know that's easy to say for people that are struggling, but I don't know any parent who's worth the blood that flows through their veins. Hey, you remember the grandmother who said, "Oh, I'm full. I don't need anything to eat," when she was starving, but she knew she had to feed her grandkids, or in cases when she was a mother, her own kids. A lot of us will do without to help our children, and it's a very small price what you pay instead of paying the ultimate price.
Right, and when you go to some of these schools and you start seeing these enormous stadiums and artificial turf, and I'm thinking, what the heck is artificial? That didn't exist when I was in school.
You could have put regular turf like Mother Nature do what she does best, and we could have protected your kids.
How many millions of dollars are we spending in that area? If we just took a fraction of that and applied it towards the security budget that doesn't exist, and we created a security budget, we could better protect those kids that are out there playing on the field.
And I do have to say this publicly. Jack, of course, her brother. She is Sarah. Mother is Chris, who I got to know when she had a wonderful coffee shop in Bridgewater. Was very nice to me. I would do a television show and come over. So you have wonderful parents. But your father, I just have to ask, is he always, Sarah, telling you about how to protect yourself and what to look out for?
Yes.
That's my dad. That's my dad. And, you know, you can actually make it fun and interesting for them, too. And the great thing, and we'll leave on this note, one thing that you don't want to do, you don't want to have, not literally, barbed wire or gun towers. You want kids to feel safe like it is their school without seeing all of these security measures that are protecting them. Correct, Paul?
Absolutely. You know, you don't want them to be obvious. As I said, you know, let the child have his childhood. But do the protection that would be necessary and can be done to keep the unwanted out of the school.
Apostolou, APOSTOLOU, architects, and you can find them on my Facebook page, and JP Hudson and Associates, their website is there as well, too. And also their phone number is 724-774-3824. Every school district should make the call today. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Sarah, nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you, too.
We'll be right back.
Get the instant power of KDKA right to your phone. Get KDKA now.
If you want the power of KDKA on your phone,
no frivolous fluff,
you need KDKA now.
Text KDKA now to 84816.
It's KDKA now
to 84816.
Standard text messaging rates apply.
Text alerts.
Text alerts instantly.
If something really big,
really big happens,
it's KDKA now
to 84816.
Get the alerts you need instantly.
KDKA now.